Na hora que... Sim.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for the sake he came for. Here I
Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to the Vines Uniting Church, and special welcome to anybody who is visiting with us today. We hope that this service will help you just improve your relationship with the Creator. Also, we'd like to give a special welcome to the Reverend Shelley, who yesterday's induction service was a really special occasion. It really was something, I can't put it into words. It was that good. And we just hope that your time with us will be blessed by God and that we will be blessed having you with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather in your presence this morning and ask that your Holy Spirit open our eyes and our hearts to hear the words you have for us today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 91 contains these words. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart or fortress. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Please remain seated as we sing "In Christ Alone."
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in heaven.
Church Council made a decision a while ago that we were going to thank certain people during services, various groups of people. Today, they want to thank, in particular, the people who were for going through the process of getting the Reverend Shelley here. So particularly the nominating, can the joint nominating committee please stand who are here today? So Marge and, I don't think Wendy's here today. But so we just want to say thank you to them. And just to mention a few others, for yesterday's service, we want to thank the Reverend Marty Rosenberg, who represented Presbytery, Ruth Mary Bond, who represented Synod, and also David, who led the service, and the musicians that helped put the music together. It was a wonderful service. Also, Ken, Kirsten, and those guys that operated the sound at the back. It really was a really good service, and yeah, I felt really good. So special thank you to all. Let's give them a clap. Also, before we do, all those people that contributed to the afternoon tea.
Yeah.
There was so much food there. I went home and Kirsten cooked dinner and I could have one. Well, yes, thank you. Yes, and yes, there was some left this morning for morning tea this morning. So
yeah.
Those that weren't here yesterday get to still enjoy some of the spoils of yesterday.
And those who were here yesterday know that there was leftovers, so that's why they came today.
Yes, precisely. All right. Every Sunday morning, obviously, we have coffee after the service, and we do need helpers to help with that if possible. Did you want something, David? No? Okay. So if you can possibly help out with morning tea, coffee, there is a list out there for you to write your name, and that would be great. Coffee is a really important part because you actually get to...
Or tea.
I just call it coffee because that's all I drink really. It's an important part of the service because you actually get to meet with some people after the service and just talk about whatever comes to mind. Who knows what happens in 13 days' time? Mother's Day Market, yes. If you are able to help and you haven't put your name down, please, there is a list out there in the foyer. Please do so. We need to get as many people as possible helping with that as possible. It is a really important part of our outreach to the community. And yes, that's about all I need to say about that. We're going to come to that part of our service now where we offer back to God a little portion of what he's given us. My go-to song for offering is Only a Holy God. And the reason I do that is one of the verses in there is, who else would offer his only son? And who else invites me to call him Father? I think if God can offer his only son to us so we can be part of his community and have eternal life, God gives us everything we have. I think we can give a little bit back to him. So as we sing Only a Holy God, please remain seated and I'll get you to stand when the offering is coming forward.
Command all the hosts of heaven. Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper in darkness tremble? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one the glory consumes like fire. What other power can raise a dead? What other name remains undefeated? Only a holy God. Come.
Please stand. Father, we acknowledge that all we have comes from your provision. As we give these offerings, may they be multiplied for the advancement of your kingdom. Guide us in managing our finances and being generous in all areas of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of this day and ask that you will be with us now as we bring our prayers of intercession before you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we begin by giving you our grateful thanks as we welcome our new minister, Reverend Shelley Alexander. We ask that your guidance, strength, and blessing will empower her on the road ahead. It's taken us quite a while, but we can't wait to start. Shelley, we offer you our support, encouragement, and prayers in anticipation of a smooth transition to our church community. Father, although peace and unity seem far away, we pray for an end to persecution and aggression around the world. For the injured, the suffering, and those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray for those who have been displaced, who have lost their homes and have nowhere safe to go. In your goodness, Lord, we ask that you would watch over those in authority around the world, that all leaders might begin to act with integrity, and people everywhere might enjoy freedom, security, and peace. We pray for our own nation, our local community, and those who serve in government and positions of power. And we ask your continued protection for all our courageous frontline workers and volunteers, wherever they might be called to serve. Loving Father, we bring before you those who may be feeling overwhelmed at times, who struggle with mental and emotional health and uncertainty of the future. And we ask that we might reach out to those who are most vulnerable, offering them our comfort and support. For those who are homeless, lonely, suffering from chronic illnesses, or mourning the loss of loved ones, we ask that your comforting presence will bring them peace and calm their anxieties. We bring those on our hearts and minds before you now. Father, as we welcome our new minister, we pray for our church here at the Vines, that we might continue to reach out to our community and learn to listen with compassion to those in need. We ask your encouragement and blessing on all those involved in leadership and all other chosen ministries. Lord, we pray all these things, trusting in your goodness, love, and power, made clear to us through your beloved Son, Jesus. Amen. Please join me as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, forever and ever.
Good morning. We have two readings today. The first, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And our second reading is John 20. Verses 19 to 31, Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's start with a prayer of confession. Let us pray. Merciful God, forgive us when we shy away from good news. Sometimes it seems too good to be true. Sometimes we're afraid of being disappointed or hurt. Sometimes we struggle to understand and so we cannot accept it. Like Thomas, we doubt and we are afraid. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Amen. And our words of assurance. The Christ who showed Thomas his wounds, this is the same Christ who greets us too as friends and invites us to share life-giving news with others. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. So something you know about me now is that I like to have a prayer of confession. Those of you who were here yesterday heard that I was Anglican for some years, and I grew to really appreciate the idea of coming before God and acknowledging that I'm not perfect and knowing that I am forgiven and cleansed, and I think it makes us more receptive to hearing the message once we've done that. The prayer of confession won't always appear at this point of the service. It'll depend. Sometimes it might be earlier. Sometimes it might need to be after we've had the message. It all depends. I thought I was going to have a little slot earlier, Adrian, to introduce myself and say something about myself. So I'm just going to do that now. First of all, I have to show you my Sunday bag. My son got this made for me specially for my ordination. Can you see? So for those who can't see, it says The Sermonator in the same typeface as used in the movie The Terminator. I'll tell him that he was part of the service. He wasn't able to be here. He lives in Melbourne. So I thought to introduce myself a little, I would just talk about some of the people who were here yesterday at the service. I'll start with these two over here. Just stand up for a wee moment, please. Yes. This is Cliff and Claudia. Say hello, everyone. Take a seat. And they don't live here. We met in England at Bloomsbury Central Baptist Church, which was where my dad was the minister. And then we moved to Australia and they moved to Alice Springs, and now you're about to retire to Victor. So very exciting to have old friends that I wasn't expecting who happened to be around for yesterday. And that was a big part of our lives, the London years. Over here, my sister Laurie and her husband Lynn, say hello everyone. Thank you. They were sitting back there with my stepmother, our stepmother, and our sister-in-law and a friend. They're not here today, but they were here yesterday. In front of them was Margaret Davidson, who brought greetings from Seeds and Melbourne Uniting Churches. She was my boss when I worked at Tabor College, and we have been friends ever since over the years. the loud Christ, Church of Christ person who was sitting there is my friend Olivia, who was at Delamere when I was there, but has just retired and moved to Port Adelaide and secretly, sneakily came along to this church to check you out and rang me and said, I think this is the right one for you. And she said, I would love to come and play the piano sometimes. Oh. Sorry about that. Someone got him? Got her? Yes. There were another couple sitting over here from the Church of the Trinity on Goodwood Road, and I met them when my husband and I started attending there. We were living right beside the church, and I've just auditioned for and been accepted for a choir which practices at that church. They're not connected with the church. And the name of the choir, which I'm an alto too, which is the equivalent of being a bass, is Women with Latitude. So I'm very excited about joining a choir and taking up some community activity. And lastly, the loud Anglican couple sitting towards the back were Chris and Susan when we were at St Jude's Brighton Anglican Church doing an alternative service in the evening for 5 years. And then he's gone on to become bishop and he's the dean of the cathedral. Very, very close friends. And so it was lovely to have all these people from all of these different parts of my life here for us to all to celebrate together. But of course, most importantly, most of you were also here, and it was lovely to see you all. We can talk more about me later, but we are here. I think it was Marge who said to me a little while ago, I've been having a very difficult month. And she said, I think Church Council or the nominating committee had thought maybe I would rather not preach today because I would have to prepare a sermon and that, you know, maybe I should just introduce myself. But I believe that we should have an exposition of the word in our services. So the message today, it's a post-Easter message because I wasn't with you for Easter. It's such an important part of our church calendar. It is the most important part, let's face it. And I didn't want to arrive and immediately launch into Easter when I didn't know you, didn't know what you were used to or what you were expecting or what might be helpful. So I thought I'd like to start after Easter, and here I am, but we're going to have an Easter message today. I did check with Anna that she hadn't preached on this reading last week. So we had our reading from the Gospel of John at the last chapter of John, and we all know it. Just a little aside, that you saw the reading on the screen and you may have noticed that after the word Thomas there were square brackets and then A, indicating there was some note there about Thomas. Thomas is a name in Aramaic which means twin, and so also known as Didymus just means he was also known as Didymus, which is the Greek word for twin. Well, we don't know who he was a twin of. We imagine he wasn't a twin of one of the other disciples, or else they would have said, surely. But one imagines he must have had a twin who was quietly in the background not getting the Guernsey for being a disciple. So let's go back to Easter. Easter is always a busy time in the church calendar. And I'm guessing, but I reckon, you started with Palm Sunday on the 29th of March, where you would have looked at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and then considered the events that unfolded during Holy Week. And then I know you did have a service at 7 p.m. on Maundy Thursday. And I imagine there you would have heard about the events of that Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. The disciples didn't know, of course, that it was their last supper with him, their final supper. They were celebrating the annual Jewish festival of Passover. They were having that special commemorative Passover meal. But Jesus saw a new meaning in the old rituals of the breaking of bread at the beginning and the sharing of that cup at the end of the meal. I wonder whether his disciples understood exactly what he meant at that point when he said, this is my body broken for you. When he said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So the Hebrew people, it's about 1,300 years earlier, had been enslaved in Egypt. And when Moses and Aaron were called by God to lead the people out of bondage, the Egyptian Pharaoh wouldn't listen to them, and you all know the story of the plagues which were then visited on Egypt. And the final devastating plague was that all of the firstborn sons of all Egyptian families and the firstborn of all animals too would be killed all in one night. And Moses told the Hebrews to kill a lamb and daub the blood of the lamb over their front door so that the angel of death would pass over their houses. So the blood of the lamb would save them from death. And this gives new meaning, doesn't it, to John the Baptist's realization back at the very beginning of the gospel as he pointed Jesus out to his own disciples, John's own disciples, and John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John saw that Jesus had come to be the one perfect final sacrifice to save us. So the events of that Thursday night, the Last Supper and what followed, were what churches all thought about and experienced in a deep way on Maundy Thursday. On Good Friday in your service, you heard about the events of that dreadful Friday. After the Last Supper on Thursday night, Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, his friend, arrested and sent to trial. And although Pilate found him innocent of all charges, Pilate was pressured to sentence him to death. And it seems that most of Jesus' disciples were too afraid to be present at the crucifixion on the hill just outside that city wall, too afraid that they too would be arrested and killed, perhaps. Some women were there watching the horrifying scene, and John was there. Maybe he was the youngest of the disciples. Maybe he was like young enough to be counted as a youth rather than a man that the authorities might arrest, or perhaps he was braver than the other disciples. I have often wondered whether I would have been brave enough to watch my beloved teacher and friend die such a gruesome death, and perhaps you've wondered the same when you put yourself in that place. After his death, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who were two members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, took down Jesus' body and laid it in the tomb. A stone was rolled across the entrance and a guard was posted outside the tomb, and Jesus was laid to rest, as we say. The Sabbath, the Shabbat, started at sundown on Friday, and that day of rest concluded at sundown on Saturday. So some women came to the tomb first thing on Sunday morning to anoint Jesus' body in the Jewish tradition. So last Sunday on Easter Day, two Sundays ago on Easter Day, you may have heard the story of the women. The church worldwide celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. I don't know, did you have communion on Easter Sunday? Some churches do, yeah. So it's a ritual that Jesus first enacted at the Last Supper, and the church has observed that faithfully for the last 2,000 years. And we, of course, will be having communion again in 2 weeks' time, Sunday the 3rd of May, remembering his body and his blood, joining with the church across the centuries and around the world. I find it very meaningful to know that we're part of a worldwide and a centuries-wide tradition. But here we are, two Sundays after Easter, and I've chosen a gospel reading that tells us what happened later on that day of resurrection and following. The disciples were meeting behind closed doors, fearful for their lives, as you would be. They must have been completely devastated. We see it with hindsight. We know what happened. But put yourself right there. It was the end of their journey. It was the end of their life with their master and their friend. It was the end. All their faith in their rabbi had been misplaced. And he was now cold and dead in his tomb. So they thought. And Jesus suddenly appears among them. Naturally, they can't believe it's him. If we were there, I'm pretty sure we would not have believed that it was him. But he shows them his hands and his side, and that's enough to convince them. They're overjoyed. Now, Thomas wasn't with them. Do you wonder where he was? Why wasn't he there? Was he hiding somewhere else? Or had he been sent out to get supplies or something? Anyway, he didn't believe the others when they told him that Jesus had been there with them. And I wonder how he rationalized that to himself the fact that they were all so convinced, and he knew it couldn't be true, so maybe he thought they'd suffered some sort of mass hallucination. What rationale could he have given to himself to say all his friends were wrong? Only that he knew no one rises from the dead. Anyway, luckily, a week later, they're there in the same house, and this time Thomas is there. I'm just going to read that bit again. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he, looking right at Thomas, said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Did you note the text doesn't say that Thomas actually did put his finger on Jesus' nail-scarred hands? It doesn't say that he put his hand right into Jesus' side, as Jesus told him to. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But whatever he did or didn't do, at that moment he knew, perhaps even more than the other disciples. And he recognises Jesus as my Lord and my God. And that proclamation of faith in Jesus as God is instant and complete at this point. Thomas worships Jesus as God. Jesus, the text doesn't tell us that Jesus commends Thomas for his declaration of faith at this point. Rather, Jesus immediately commends those who haven't seen what Thomas has seen and yet who believe. Well, that's us. Jesus says to us today that we are blessed because although we have not seen, we believe. We are in the Bible. He's talking about us. At my Yankalilla Church Kids Club, we had a session with an Easter theme, and the children all made crosses to wear as necklaces, and the crosses were made out of nails. I talked through the Easter story, which, as you know, is actually a hard story to talk about with children. And I stressed the fact that the whole point of Easter is that Jesus rose again. He died, and that was very sad, I said, very sad for his friends who weren't expecting it, very sad for everyone who knew that he was a good person, who was innocent, which even Pilate acknowledged, very horrible, but that is not the end of the story. I explained with great enthusiasm that on Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death, defeated death, so that we too don't need to fear death anymore. Now, the children were amazed by this, as if they'd never heard it before, which they probably hadn't. And then one little boy put up his hand. "Yes," I said inquiringly. "Well," said the little boy, "that means Jesus is alive right now, doesn't it? He didn't die again, did he?" "No, that's exactly right," I said. "Jesus is alive right now." And we then had a discussion about why we can't see him. And he's invisible, but he's here right with us as our friend, walking with us, helping us, guiding us. This little boy had made an amazing revelation immediately, which I think that some of us don't really make until much later. If Jesus rose again and has not died again, then that means he is still alive now. Let that sink in. Christ is alive. He walks with us and he talks with us. He is here with us right now. So what difference does it make to you in your life to know that Jesus is right here with you? And if it doesn't make any difference, I wonder why not. Do you really feel Jesus walking with you? Do you read scripture regularly and let it permeate your heart and soul? Do you pray regularly about every little thing, not just the occasional big emergency prayer, which we all do? Do you trust that Jesus has things under control and lives, and do we live with his strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is alive and he gives us life. We are not alone, but we live with, in, and through Christ. In our first reading from 1 Peter verse 8, Peter says, this is Peter talking, the disciple Peter, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Surely Peter was remembering that night in Jerusalem when Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. And Peter now tells those he's writing to, and Peter is also telling us, though you have not seen him, you love him. Christ is alive, and we are caught up in the resurrection life of Christ. The life we live now, we also live to God. In Christ alone, our hope is found, as we sang. So let us look to our future with hope and excitement as we continue to learn what the resurrection of Christ means to us in our own lives. As we sing our next song, if the musicians want to come up, let us imagine that we're singing this song along with the women, along with the disciples, and along with Thomas, because do you know what? In a very real sense, we are. We are part of the communion of saints. After this song, I'll give the benediction.
And as soon as when we finish the song, I hope we'll be standing the benediction. Straight after the benediction, we're going to do one more song. And that song will be the Christmas blessing, which is May the Feet of Christ Walk With You. During that particular song, I'd like you to sing it to each other as a blessing from God. So let's stand and sing the great old hymn, And Can It Be?
For me who calls him.
tell you, it's long and it's high, and save some for that last verse. I'm just going to ask a question. Does the minister walk down and greet people at the door? Yes, and when do I do that? After the blessing song?
After the benediction.
After the benediction, before the blessing song?
Yes.
Yep, good. Here we go then. Here's our benediction today. 2 weeks after Easter Day, we go with joy having encountered Jesus, as Thomas did 1 week after Easter Day. We go with joy to share with others that we too have seen the Lord. We go with great joy because we go with the crucified, risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please turn and sing this to the people around you.
May